Tonight, Sunday morning, 4:23. We're going to look at this morning a teaching called The Children of Light. Children of Light. Romans 12:21 out of the Amplified says this: Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome master evil with good. Well, I looked up in the Strong's what overcome means. It means to subdue, conquer, prevail, or get the victory. That's what it's all about. This time in history, the whole earth has come under a lot of darkness. You know, a lot of darkness. I believe that this Old Testament scripture best describes the time in which we live in. We're going to look at Isaiah. Isaiah might have been prophesying this day. Isaiah 60. Verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Yeah. That's what I believe is coming. That's what the day we're expecting right now. God's people shine like a bright light in a dark place. You know, you can go in a just dark room and just light a candle. Look what it does. All right. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 13. My focus this morning is light overcomes darkness. Our focus should never be the darkness. It should be the light. Okay, Matthew 13, starting with verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Did I put the parable of the sower? I sure did. When one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Anon. I'm going to be talking about anons this morning. Anon with joy. Receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, but with tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Put this into perspective as the light of the word of God. Someone that embraces that light, what happens? 30, 60, 100 fold. Jesus did deal with evil spirits when he was here, and he said that we would also, but he also said that the Great Commission would deal with that. When he had that laid down in Mark 16, what did he say? You'd cast out devils, right? As you're taking the kingdom, you'd cast out devils. You'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Did Jesus go looking for demons? No. He didn't. He went about what? Doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wasn't looking for the darkness. He wasn't looking for a demon. He was looking to help people. The gospel of the kingdom. All right, 1 John 3:8, latter part. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How did he destroy the works of the devil? He loosed people from the devil. This is about people. This isn't just about landscape. Well, there's a demon in that building over there. Demons walk around in people. They hold people captive, people in bondage. The weirdness that we see today, we see a society overtaken with devils. For someone to be a transgender, they have a devil. Why? Because their god, Baphomet, is transforming them from a regular person to a Baphomet. Think about that one. The twisted demon god that's got a breast and a penis. Think about it. This is demonic. This is what Satan is trying to transform, especially the youth, but all of them. It's not just the youth anymore. These older, skanky old men are thinking, well, I'm telling you, nothing against old men. It's just that maybe they're not satisfied or happy. Look at our health secretary or whatever that is. Rachel Levin. Good God, I thought, that's our example of health. He's a transgender and he's awful looking. All those they've picked for all their stuff are all these awful looking. Why? That's the god they serve. That's why they're pushing it on the kids. All right. Jesus didn't go looking for demons. What did he do? 1 John 3:8. All right, I read that to you. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What am I saying here this morning? We don't have to go look for demons. Let's go do good. They'll show up. They'll come looking for you. Just goes with the territory. Sickness is demonic oppression. Doesn't always have to be in someone. Oppression is from outward. We know Jesus took all sickness and disease. So what's coming from, what's all this sickness about? It's oppression. The devil's oppression. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But this part's really important. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's the focus, the goodness of God, not the demon. Demons are a dime a dozen. You know, and when we need to deal with one, God will show us what to do. 1 John 4:4. A lot of good scriptures. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are so... Really, they work against themselves. I'll go back to the day at HEB when the bread man did what he did. I would have never known there was a spirit there unless that happened. See, when someone of the kingdom of God gets in their presence, they can't do anything but react, and they give themselves away. Just like the slave girl. She was saying all the right things, but Paul was going inside, like there's something wrong here. That's the way this was with this man. Well, they smartened up, because when I came back later after several weeks of finding out what in the world went on, didn't want to go back to the store because I didn't want to see the bread man. When I did come, he saw me coming and he went the other way around as far away from me as he could. But what? They just reacted. They have no control. With someone they thought they know their authority, they react. They give themselves away. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? Think about the madman of Gadara. He asked, what's your name? There were times, you know, like the little kid that had epilepsy or whatever. Here Jesus commands it to come out, and all of a sudden he starts throwing a fit and all this kind of stuff. They react. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you're not used to that, it's going to set you back a little bit, like, what in the world? That's what I mean. It's so sad what the church does not know. Their primary objective in the kingdom of God, they don't know anything about. Our Heavenly Father overcame the darkness in Genesis 1. When he saw the darkness, he spoke light. Were we made in his image and likeness? When he saw darkness, he spoke light. Whenever you speak light to someone, whatever they're dealing with, you speak light to them, the darkness goes. It's like speaking to the mountain. Not having a pity party over the mountain, but speaking to the mountain. If we ever really get a hold of this and are able to keep our mouths right, okay, we are to do what he did concerning our situations. Our focus is not taking out demons, but loosing people from Satan's grip, setting people free from the strongholds of their minds. It's what this ministry mission statement is. What happens when a person gets free? The devil no longer has a say in their life. Isn't that what it's all about? Satan uses people. This is about loosing people. This is why Jesus came. He didn't come to kick the devil out. If he had so, he would have kicked out the whole Roman Empire. Come on. No, he focuses on the people that were in bondage. All right, I'm going to look over to Luke. You know what? I didn't put the chapter. Well, let me go look here. See if I can figure out which one it is. It starts in verse 26, so I'll look, see if I can find which one it is. It might be the madman of Gadara. I'm not sure. Okay. Yes, it is. Let me write that chapter down. This is chapter 8, looks like. And they arrived at the county of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. See, when a Son of God comes across these entities, there's a reaction. See, y'all just might as well get ready for it. For it commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the country, in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that the objective? Isn't that setting people free from the strongholds of their minds? They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of this country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up to the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house. And show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Next thing we know, here we come up with Jairus' daughter. He raised her from the dead. Isn't this what it's about? It's about setting the person free, not casting out devils. All right, go to Matthew. Chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, I'm looking forward to the day that it's just the kingdom of God and there's no darkness in it. Just think about how glorious it's going to be. Okay, let's keep going here. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Just think if our focus was that instead of the darkness that we're walking in and feeling or encountering. What is that doing? Well, it wants to keep you home and suffering instead of getting out and taking the kingdom. All right, Matthew 10, 7. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, free to give. There it is, all right there. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just getting somebody born again. It's not only getting people born again. It's also setting them free. How many times did Jesus say, Loose him and let him go? Loose them. Be free. Your sins are forgiven you. The whole package. Salvation's included in all of this. As we are taking the gospel of the kingdom, demon problems will arise, and just like Jesus did, then we deal with them. But that is not to be the focus. I know as spiritual mappers, it's easy to get into that we're always looking for the demon that's under the bush or in the courthouse or wherever it is. But I'm venturing to say that as we go about, God will show us where they are and when they're to be exposed and how to do it. Let's don't go looking for demons. It's okay to research the city and find out, you know, if you want to do that, about our origins and different things like that, if the Holy Spirit leads you. If not, don't worry about it. Okay, Matthew 11:5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I would say to you today, the biggest enslavement that I believe in the whole world is the dependency on Big Pharma. They need people that are carrying the light that can say, well, rise up and walk. Be healed. Be free. I'll never forget the time I went to that garage sale and I heard this lady talking about how God has taught her so much about the three different times that she's dealt with cancer. I'm sitting over there and I'm just about to beside myself. And she goes in the house and her sister's standing there, and I turned around, I handed her God's medicine. I said, would you please tell your dear sister that God didn't put cancer on her to teach her anything? Cancer's of the devil. I handed her the book. This is a churchgoer. It's sad. Is Satan losing a hold where he once had one and getting people free? Absolutely. There's darkness there that's no longer there. How are we going to get rid of the darkness? One person at a time. I mean, demons are looking for a host. They're not going to be satisfied hanging around some old building like a ghost, haunting someplace. They're looking for somebody to inhabit so they can manifest themselves through it. Well, we just have to deny them that. We're about people, not devils. Okay, Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then? How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Yeah. Jesus came into this world and Zechariah prophesied of a great light. This is Luke 1. This is verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus was sent as the light into a dark world. All right, keep going with our scriptures here. John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, if he's in you, how's he in the world? In us? John 12:36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. We're the children of the light. We're not the light workers and light, all that garbage that's going around. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah, Strong's light here means to shed rays or to lighten up. How do you lighten up? Get the burdens off of people. People are carrying burdens. Probably everywhere you go, somebody's got something, some burden that they're carrying. Instead of all this foolishness of shedding because of the FOVAX, we should be shedding rays of light into this darkness as the Holy Spirit leads us. I don't know if it's true or not. But I know this. Jesus said if you ate or drank any deadly thing, it wouldn't hurt you. Well, he was giving a reference to poison because that was the what they liked to do back in the day. They wore these little rings that had poison in them. Don't think for a minute Jesus didn't know what we'd be facing. We're not here to siding with the darkness, but to lighten things up. You know how refreshing it is to go out and hear somebody say something uplifting or do a kindness? I saw a deal. It was a sharp video. And this guy, it was a convenience store. And people were just in and out, in and out, in and out. And usually it was just a few little items. This guy'd walk up, slap down the money, and just walk out. People, it was just the most, one lady, she just sit there just boo-hooed, you know. Others would say, it is just so nice that there's still a few good people in this world. I mean, it was just like, just every four or five customers, he'd come up, slap the money down, and just walk off. And the lady at the register, she was enjoying it because of all these reactions from these people. There was nothing negative. Just that little act of kindness. Just a little light in this dark world that we're just all trying to get through and endure. Well, I'm going to go do that for somebody else. Well, I guess I ought to be paying for the guy next to me. You know, they've done that at Starbucks and different places where somebody would buy somebody a drink and then they're just a chain effect. That's the way light is. That's the way goodness is. Let's quit thinking that the darkness is so bad that we don't have a chance. That's not true. One little candle can light a whole room. Talking about one can put 1,000, 2, 10,000 to flight. We need to quit focusing in on the darkness and everything that's bad and not good. What determines attitude or altitude? Attitude, yeah. All right. We are not here to side in with the darkness, but to lighten things up. The world is dark, and we are the children of light and must keep the right focus. We must disconnect from the matrix because that's what their plan is to extinguish the light. They see you as Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's nothing more fulfilling than being light to someone, being the answer to someone, to be able to bless someone, do something good for someone. There's nothing like it. All right. Here is some of our programming. Red light. Why don't we say green light? Or the glass is half empty. Why don't we say the glass is half full? Programming. Negative. As spiritual mappers, we're not looking for demons under every bush. We are seeking instructions from the Father how to lose people from the hands of the evil one. Isn't that what it's all about? It's about people. It's always been about people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's always about people. The devil wasn't even in the equation. All right. light overtakes the darkness. It was in Genesis 1, and it is still the same today. All right, let's keep looking at our scriptures. Go back to Matthew, Matthew 8, 8:14. And when Peter, or when Jesus, excuse me, was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she rose up and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He came to lighten things up, didn't he? People were under burdens. Was it casting out the demons, the focus here, or loosing the person? Loosing the person. Getting the person free. Wouldn't you say that would be mastering evil with good? Lord, I need a plan. Let me map it out. No, here's the master plan. Love. Good over evil. Love never fails. They have nothing they can bring against that. Nothing. Every demon in hell cannot break that love barrier. That's why it's had such a pitch to divide and conquer, even in the truther movement. Wouldn't you say that this is mastering evil with good? I would. I will say this again. Healing is God's calling card. I mean, if God would reach out to just somebody that thinks, I'm just a sorry old sinner, you know, I've done wrong, I've done this, I've done all these things, but God reaches out and heals them, how do you think that's going to react to them? You mean, God really does love me, doesn't he? It's like a little taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Said, you better get saved or you're going to hell. You better stop doing that. You're going to go to hell for it. What is that doing? Making you run the other way? Just think about it. Romans 2, 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Hey, God gives you a little taste of how good he is. What happens? When God's done something like that to somebody, then he's got a believer for life. God did this for me. You grow up in church and you've heard the hellfire and the brimstone. You run away from there as fast as you can. Our focus should be on getting the person some goodness of God manifested that so they can change their mind for the better and then the devil is squeezed out of the equation. You meet their need first, then they get thirsty for more of God and the devil loses his hold on them forever. The darkness is out of their life forever. That's why people resist. It's because they really don't know the goodness of God. They haven't seen the goodness of God. All they've seen is the hardness and the harshness. All the rules and regulations that have been put on them by religious dogmas. All right. That's Psalms 34, 8, the latter part. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Wasn't it Jackie Gleason that said, how sweet it is? Well, the goodness of God, how sweet it is. Yeah. A few more scriptures. Matthew 5. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We're supposed to be a city on a hill. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. See, we're showing the love of God to people, to reach out to people, to pray for people. It's not a hard thing. It's just, well, just let me agree with you on that. You know, the Lord healed me. You know what? He doesn't respect persons. So if we pray, God will do that for you too. Is that hard? No, it's very simple. I can't tell you how many prayers that I've prayed like that over the years, and I got feedback later. Oh, they're healed. One lady, I prayed for her broken heart. Her mother, her daughter came in. I prayed for her broken heart. I didn't have a clue. She's a widow. Well, she had heart surgery. Her heart came apart. And they were giving her up to die. 4 hours before they're taking off for the ventilator, she sits up in bed. Well, a simple little prayer. Lord, give me something. Just taking somebody's hand was three of us in a circle. The lady, Vicki Bullard, was there, and me. And we just prayed a simple prayer. They asked me to pray, so I did. Lord, heal this lady's broken heart. I didn't know what those words meant. I thought it meant, well, she's in grief. No, she literally had a broken heart, and God healed it. How simple is that? There wasn't any calculation. I better go fast and pray for several hours to handle this situation, find out what I'm supposed to do. No, it just happened. I think as we go about, it just happens. Sometimes we're just, God, give me an answer, and we don't do anything. But we get out and about, and comes somebody, and you just take their hand up, you know, pray, and it just comes. We're wanting the answer before we ever step out the door. But no, I don't know that we'll always get it that way. It's nice when you do have something like that, but you don't know what you're going to meet when you go out there. It may just be, we've made a habit where when we go into a restaurant, there's law enforcement, we buy their meal. They never know who. I know one time we paid for a lady, there's five ladies, and they prayed over their food and everything, and we paid for their meal. And out of the five, one lady come running over to us and just thanking us. In fact, she handed me a $2 bill. She said, I want to bless you with this. You know, you just don't know who is watching you, or what they're thinking, or what you're doing in their lives. You know, just by doing a simple thing, just light, especially today. Okay. Jesus is the light of the world. He came into the darkness and showed His disciples how to overcome it. He then made them apostles so they could teach all believers to be the light of the world, so that they also could overcome it, like He overcame it. All right, this is John 16:33. This is my last scripture on this. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. for I have overcome the world. I'll just say this in closing. Wherever I go, for years and years, the Lord has used me this way. I look for a hook. Whether it's talking to somebody and you just start a conversation, and they'll more than likely they'll start telling you all their problems and all their woes. That's usually the way it is. And you look for a hook there where you can, well, yeah, you know, I've been through the same thing. And you know what? I prayed and the Lord healed me. You know what? I've got this little book here, God's Medicine. Would you like to have one? It's scriptures where you can take it like medication. This is God's medicine. Or can I pray with you about this? Would you like to agree with me in prayer? I said, God heal me, he heal you too. Just a simple. Been through a lot of hairdressers and nail techs and different things that the Lord used me in that way. I tell you what, my little nail girl, she's becoming quite a disciple. She started out with a potty mouth and didn't know anything about the Word of God, and now she's asking me questions every time I come, and she's talking about, well, I don't feel right when I don't read my Bible, and the potty mouth is gone, and she's got hope. One person. Well, I'll tell you what, she's Mexican, and they have a big family. You know, when you win one person, you win their whole family, or could possibly. So don't think that little lad of mine is, you know, that it doesn't make a difference. Yes, it does.